All right. There's a word we're still talking about. The end of the end of all things. Or there's a word that is used. It's used all the time, and it's called renewal or refreshing or revival. But let's go look at something. Let's go look at, or is it Isaiah 28? Because it's obvious from our experience that even though we understand, and at least there's been tacit agreement because of silence, that we know the end of all things, we know the finishedness of Christ, we know the vanity and futility of human effort. And so there's something that But we always screw it up. We always end up giving importance to something in time, and then pretty soon all hell breaks loose. We end up mad or upset or anxious or free-floating anxiety or fear or all these other things that are the works of the flesh. Remember, there's the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So, first of all, before we go to Isaiah 28, go to Galatians 5, and let's just look at these real quickly. I'm just going to rant today because I didn't really study this morning. I don't have a lesson plan.
You always do.
Shut up. Let me have my little idea that I sometimes prepare. What?
Is it sweet?
Sweet plan.
Touché.
She's been waiting long.
Way to go, Shorty.
She gets all this ghost. She gets all this blow by.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The two yokes that exist are the yoke of bondage, which is the flesh, and the yoke of Christ. And we all have a yoke on. Now, the only way that we can understand truly what this yoke that each of us have on is to experience it. And we have to, before we can put on the yoke of Christ, we have had to have found out that the yoke of the flesh is weary, causes weariness and massive loads and the feelings of debt and anxiety and fear. And it takes, because of our rebellious nature, it takes a long time for that to happen. And so we have to go through, because we always think that this next yoke that we're going to adopt isn't really a yoke. It's going to give us some kind of freedom or... am I communicating? What?
Well, I have a humorous anecdote about this verse. Back in my brimstone days, I was really freaking out because things were going bad and wrong and, you know, the world was coming to an end. So I packed up and went to Cancun and checked into the Club Med. I went to my room and got all ganja'd up and then took my Bible and went down and found this perfectly situated spot on the beach under a banyan tree where I would be completely alone. And I took my Bible and I said a prayer. And then I did the Steichomancy thing where I opened it up and I stuck my finger in the Bible for guidance from God, how to solve all my problems. This was the verse.
You did this at Club Med?
Yeah.
It's like Buddha. He went this, inside into the bank.
It was this, exactly. It was this verse, right? So then I spent the rest of the time trying to figure out what the verse meant and coming up with a plan to execute this. If I do this, 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 and this, then I will.
So your yoke, you got a different yoke. Yeah.
Well, I read this and I heard, okay, now come up with a new plan. A new list of stuff to do to solve your problem.
Right?
Okay, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again. And again, the word in the tense, it's again and again and again. I mean, it's one of these kinds of, why are you going to put that damn yoke on again?
Yeah, it's like quit being continuously entangled.
Right, right.
Break out of that.
Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, it's not just talking about cutting off the head of your weenie. It's talking about either start or stopping doing something, changing. You're gonna fix something. You're going to change it. Remember, those that desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And I'm sure that some of you have constrained me, if I would just be different, then, you know, or if you could just do something different or be like that person. You understand? the doing something different is the spiritual meaning of circumcision. The bad kind. You got it? What?
Well, it's what everybody teaches, is here's how to be circumcised. Here's how to not do this, and here's how to do this.
That's right. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So the whole idea is, it's obviously, if you become a believer and then decide you needed to be circumcised, really, or even castrated like Origen did and some of the people, then you castrate yourself, but it doesn't work. It doesn't do anything. It didn't, what? Everybody's just going on here.
You castrate yourself and find out it doesn't work.
Yeah, oops. that's a good oops. So if you know who Origen was, he was one of the church fathers that he was so troubled with lust that he castrated himself, and the same happened to this prisoner that was in the. Anyway, I want to go into that. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Again, hear me. If you understood the law, you would understand that anything that you do other than rest or wait is a form of circumcision. So it may be in thought or word or in deed, but the moment you do it, that you have to do something or take action or fix this or do something about that, that's a solution after your understanding, then you're circumcising yourself again. And you can't just be a debtor. If you do that, then you're not just a debtor to all of the debt that you've incurred because you didn't complete any of your law. You're a debtor to do the whole law as it is in here. All of the 600, you have to go back and rebuild the temple, and you have to find the red heifer and all that kind of stuff. Can you feel what I'm talking about? For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now the word law there is nomos, and it just means anything. It's not just holy law. It's the law that you have either gotten from the world around you or that you've invented. You've got a solution. You've got, if I do this, this will happen. That's why there's only two left. There's only those that are doing under the law, which is all Babylon. They're vessels of wrath, and then there's only the others are vessels of mercy. And, it's not our business who is who. This is critical, because it's part of the end of the whole thing. We through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And that's always true. It isn't, the hope of righteousness isn't, we've got this situation that we've got to solve, and so then I can go, and this is what we're going to do about it. The hope of righteousness is always wait on him. That's what faith is. So, and again, for most of us, I dare say all of us, we are hardwired to try to find a solution. And so rather than do this, we then come up, and what we are doing is we are inventing a law that we think if we do this, then that will happen. Can everybody see this? And we do it 1,000 times a day.
That makes us like God. We determine what's right, and then we put it out there.
But we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Or faith which is empowered or engendered by love. And again, we love only because he first loved us. But it's not in some sentimental way. It's because as he is in the world, so are we. And so the waiting is, again, we have a form of godliness, but we deny his power, so therefore we have to have a solution. Instead of waiting by faith for the whatever comes. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you, for a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And we've seen it. I mean, it's how easy. This is what psychobabble is. Psychobabble is engendering the leaven of circumcision or of doing something into a meeting. So that's what you should do, and I think you should do this, and no. And we all do it. But it's time, since this is the end of the matter, it's time that we saw and called it. And if we see anybody else doing it, that's what, you got to call them on it. Because it's in all our tendencies to do it. We always want a solution. We always want a battle plan. We always have to have an agenda.
Tweak the circumcision.
I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And it's talking about a small group of people like this. It's engendering something. You got an idea. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? What an incredible sentence. What is the offense of the cross in this context? The offense of the cross is that it doesn't make any sense to anybody else in the universe that you can do nothing but wait on him. And so the offense of the cross is, you stupid SOB. Or if I did what you say, Ole, I'd just go sit in a corner. Right? Well, something's going on here. Huh? No, not a bad thing. It's just the wheels that weren't turning. What?
Still not me.
part of what you're, I think you're picking up on is me, because what we're talking about, it's like the last 30 years of experience, or 40 years even, but particular 30 years. I can see, it's like I'm looking back through those years, through this connected string of occurrences, or something. It's like I can see this being worked out through my stupid head and heart over the last 30 years. I knew this 30 years ago, but I mean, it's like you have an audience with the king of the universe and then walk out and start figuring out what you can do because of what you saw and heard in the audience with the king of the universe.
I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. That's an. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Again, in the serving of one another, it's not conditional serving. There's no compassion fatigue because there's a continual refreshing, because you have nothing invested in the outcome. I hope you understand. It's not doing something because something is expected of you or anything else. It's just this thing of being. This is who He is. If there's doubt, if you have more than one option, you do nothing. You wait in the tabernacle until a cloud is raised. This is the fundamental Christianity 101. You don't take any action if you have more than one option. So in truth, and this always got people, and got some of you when I first said it many years ago, a believer never makes a decision. Because if there is a decision to be made, you wait. And this will revolutionize your life if you can hear it.
I talked yesterday morning about the inheritance, God's inheritance for us, which is Jesus Christ. And, you know, He is the will of God. And I'm thinking that all we have done for the whole duration of our existence is examine our inheritance and look at who He is. That's the focus of the church of all times. It's always about Him, not about
Amen.
How we can spend it.
For all the laws fulfilled in this one word or phrase, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, and again, we have the, again, like in all languages, but we pick up on that word lust, and we think, okay, that has something to do with sex. It doesn't. It just simply means wanting things to be different than they are at any given moment. That's what lust is. And you can't possibly conceive, and Paul couldn't. He said, because he called it, he said, how would I know that what covet meant until until I saw you that it means lust. It means wanting things to be different. Because if you want things to be different, then you have an investment in the flesh and you've put on the yoke of bondage of the flesh. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to stop wanting to be different, things to be different. You're not going to. But you have to come to this place of forgiving. You have of repenting. You have to. When every time you think you want something to be different, you have to say. You have to. It has to be from the fear of God. You say, Father, forgive me, because I don't want to put on that yoke of flesh anymore. I don't want to put on that yoke of endless weight and burden. You know, this is where you live. This is because there's a constant of wanting things to be different than they are. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these are the contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would or you will to do. Now, with some, you know this instantly. The flesh is lusteth against me, and it's the flesh by its nature. There's no such thing as redeemed flesh. The flesh by its nature is constantly trying to suppress down the Spirit. And the only Spirit's only function is to reveal Christ. And the Spirit's continual function is to suppress down the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You can never succeed after your own understanding. You can never accomplish what you want. And this is the evil of entitlement that we've been talking about before, is that it tries to sanctify the flesh instead of sanctifying the suffering. Because it's gain that's the evidence of his presence, not what he thinks is the evidence of his presence. And again, God really is blessing me because I want a lawsuit, or God's really blessing me because this. No. The flesh is trying to suppress down the Spirit, and the Spirit's suppressing down the flesh. So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the only way you can be led of the Spirit is 100% abandonment. And that, by definition, that will mean constant waiting. But it's not... It's the most intense. It's like being in the eye of a hurricane, but the biggest hurricane you could ever imagine, because it's shaking and blowing away everything that isn't anchored in eternity.
Just waiting, the same as being patient.
It's the same as the word patience in the scriptures, but it's not the same as our understanding of what patience is.
God is blessing me because I have good health, or I found a new job, or whatever the thing is. And by even saying that, I mean, it's comparing the blessing of Christ's life in us, which is...
Can't be taught.
It's like kind of silly to...
It's just childish.
Yeah.
It's infantilism.
Let me go back to that. So you're saying, so if I understand, it is the same as being patient, but not our understanding of patience, because we have an incorrect understanding of patience.
Right. Okay, now the works of the flesh are obvious or manifest. Which are these? And again, remember, it's like the first one, adultery. Well, my God, you commit adultery every single time that you don't wait on him for whatever it is. Every time you go anywhere else for your sustenance, you're committing adultery. Fornication, same thing. But the difference is that it's only fornication when you don't know that the temple has been dedicated. But once you know the temple has been dedicated, then fornication becomes adultery. You see the difference? Uncleanness, that's us. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And he's got tired of listing them. I mean, it's forever, because it's whatever flesh does. And again, notice it says the works of the flesh. Works is plural. And as I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And again, that's... flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. So it's not about what we think it is. Flesh and blood is just the vehicle. It's the container that holds... It's the earth that holds the pearl of great price. It's the earth from which the seed grows, but it's the earth has no identity other than the vessel. All right. Now, but the fruit, singular, it doesn't say fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, that is the only personality description of Christ in the Bible, because it's one fruit. So you can't try to get one fruit, and the fruit, this fruit of the Spirit, it cannot be, all of the gifts of the Spirit, and all they can all be faked. But the fruit of the Spirit cannot be faked by anything, because the fruit has to have this is a description of that one fruit: love, joy, peace, long suffering.
It's a package rather than
right.
Different things.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, etc., etc. Now let's go to Isaiah 28. And we'll just do one verse and then we'll... I turned right to it, Ronnie.
I'll take your favor.
Verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. And remember, it's the drink, the wine of self-seeking. And they are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision, and they stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. It has nothing to do with salvation. And this is always true. They always err in vision. We always, that's not unique to any time period. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And that's what we've done that. But it's not to learn anything, as we'll see. For with stammering lips or with mocking lips in another tongue will he speak. Oh, God, will he speak to this people? It's obvious. You've got to know by now that God has been mocking us. All of our little ideas and all of our solutions and all of our plans and all of our agendas, the Spirit has been pushing them down. Now the problem is now much of the church calls that Satan.
Yeah, this is a description of that, of the flesh trying to suppress the Spirit, the Spirit suppressing the flesh. This is the revelation of the divine comedy, really.
That's right. And so all of this precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, for stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. It's another language. It's you couldn't have figured this out. You understand?
It really is a comedy.
To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith we may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. That's what I was going to talk about today, the refreshing. What the hell happened? Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken, that they might be apprehended. But you can't be apprehended until you're broken and you've fallen back and you're destroyed. So it's only that group, the poor, the empty, the heavy laden, that he's calling. the weary. It's not how to get unweary and do things better in the flesh. That's apostasy. That's heresy after the worst kind.
And so we even generally would encourage people, go ahead, do the precept upon precept, find out.
You got to find out. That's, but don't act like you're not. I mean, don't act there and sit there like, you know, like a bump on a log, but your internal transaction is the antithesis of it. That's just kind of stupid. You can't do anything against the truth. It doesn't matter, but it's just stupid. Now, we're going to talk about the refreshing, hopefully, tomorrow. That's what we were going to talk about today, I thought. Or revival, or whatever these things mean. The revival is constant. Every time you repent, there's revival. Every time you repent, there's refreshing. That's why repentance is a joy. It's walking away from a pile of dung. But you don't want to go back there just because you covered your pile of dung and made little figurines and covered them in gold. That's what Gary does. Anybody have any responses? Any? Mr. Kevin?
I guess what comes to mind is praying for somebody, you know, wanting Cheryl to be better, wanting you to be better. Not having any investment
in it.
I hope that.
Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah. Don't stop praying.
There is a difference between meeting a need and wanting things to be different.
Right.
That's what we were saying. Like yesterday, it was like we can't tell people they don't have any rights without us being totally open and you know, totally invested in their need.
That's right. And the best way, the best example of that is how the children have been raised here. That was a huge risk that we took when we started that school. None of us knew. Well, Josanna knew some. Josanna knew stuff, but the rest of us didn't.
Yeah.
All righty. Because, we can see the fruit of it. I mean, I'm so proud of all the kids that it's just crazy. But, you know.
School of Rock.
not an axe murderer among them.
There's a few dissemblers, though. What does that mean? Never mind. Take it, big guy, quick before anybody answers. Did we see a princess sighting?
Yes.